This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Medical Frontiers is an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network. The information featured on Medical Frontiers is intended solely to further the public's general knowledge of current developments in the field of medicine and should not be relied upon as offering advice, diagnosis, or opinions as to any individual treatment or problem. Nothing should replace the relationship that you maintain with your personal physician.
Well, good evening. Dr. Gerald Pfeiffer here with another session on this Monday evening of Medical Frontiers. And here with Rob Pratt, the Steelers sure didn't look very good.
They look their age on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, the highest paid defense in the league, and it looked like a sieve last night.
It was rough, really
and
tough.
And that's not taking anything away from Love.
Green Bay, yeah. He's Jordan Love.
He's a good quarterback.
Well, this week, the team has got the best record in pro football, the Indianapolis Colts, and a running back by the name of Jonathan Taylor, and the Steelers can't stop the run, so it could get ugly before it gets better.
Yeah, it might go into triple digits.
Oh, hard to watch.
Okay, tonight we're going to be talking about why is it necessary to have a PCP, a primary care physician. We're very fortunate to have Dr. Anthony Ciampa on our line tonight to talk about primary care and the advantages of that and so on. Good evening, Dr. Anthony Ciampa. How are you this evening?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you bet. Tell us a little bit about primary care. What does that word mean?
So primary care is basically your first line in medical care. So it involves multiple specialties. Family medicine, which is my specialty, but also pediatrics, internal medicine, OBGYN, and geriatricians. So primary care physicians are the doctors that you usually see when you have a problem initially to be evaluated, as well as if you need preventative care and physicals before you go to see a specialist for whatever problem you may be diagnosed with the primary care doctor. But the focus is probably mostly on physicals and preventative care in order to maintain your health.
Okay. And it's actually the only specialty in medicine where you can take care of infants from the time they're born. If you do the OB part, you can deliver somebody and take care of the entire family from infancy right until they meet their demise, right?
Correct, I mean, yes. We like to say from cradle to grave.
Because most pediatricians don't see patients after 18. Most internists don't see many patients before 18, et cetera, et cetera. So a family physician is trained in all the modalities and you know, those things that you can't take care of, then you can refer them to the specialists and subspecialists, right?
Correct. Okay. So, yes, we're trained in multiple different aspects of medicine in across multiple specialties.
Uh-huh. In your practice, do you do deliveries?
My practice does not. I was trained in obstetrics in residency, and I have delivered quite a few babies myself. A lot of family physicians who practice in the community don't practice OB, but those who are hospital-based, such as those at Forbes and Allegheny General, they do tend to practice obstetrics, especially if they're associated with a residency program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And tell our listening audience why it's important to have a primary care physician, somebody that they can relate to. Why is that important?
So it's important to have a primary care physician so that you have a go-to when you have a medical problem. So not only are we there for preventative care for your physicals and to check your blood work, and make sure that your immunizations are up to date and that your other screening studies are up to date. But if you develop a medical problem, it's good to have a primary care physician so that you can come in to be properly diagnosed and treated. You know, if you have a good relationship with your primary care physician, when you start with a symptom, then you have someone to go to talk about it, do the appropriate tests, be diagnosed, and hopefully treated and taken care of quickly. And if needed, then to see a specialist if it's something that's beyond the scope of our practice. When you have a good relationship with the primary care doctor, that can also help with chronic conditions. So if you have long-term diseases such as diabetes or heart disease, or even if you've had cancer or going through treatments for cancer, having a primary care physician to help with those chronic diseases is very beneficial as well. Sometimes it's difficult to get in to see specialists for some of those things, and the primary care physician can help manage a lot of complex issues. And when you develop that relationship, then they know your history, they know your medications, they know what you've done in the past, so it can expedite your care for other problems as well.
Okay, and you're with AHN and a number of hospitals,
correct,
of course, and when a patient has to be hospitalized in your practice, do you admit that patient, or is that patient admitted and taken care of by a hospitalist?
So in our practice, we work with the hospitalists, usually at Cannonsburg Hospital or Jefferson Hospital. My practice is located in McMurray. But depending on the practice, some do hospital admissions themselves, but the scope of practice in medicine recently has been a shift towards a lot of hospitalists taking care of patients within the hospital, and the primary care physicians being more community-based and seeing patients in follow-up after they're hospitalized as well as beforehand. Having a good relationship with the hospitalist is important, especially having communication when someone's been hospitalized for a long period of time, so that the handoff from the hospital care to the outpatient care is a smooth transition, because a lot of changes can occur when you're in the hospital with medications or surgeries or other aspects of your care that you're going to then need to follow up with in the future.
So there certainly is important to have that good relationship, especially when the patient is discharged and so on. And, you know, I grew up at a time when we didn't have hospitalists, but they are very, very common today. And it really makes sense. These are people who are, they don't have a practice of their own. They work in the hospital. They usually work 12-hour shifts and take care of the patients that need to be hospitalized. And you can spend your time taking care of patients in your outpatient practice and keep them out of the hospital as best you can.
That is definitely the goal. So we did work in the hospitals only until about 5 years. When the pandemic hit, that was when a lot of things changed. But yes, my practice for the first over a decade that I was there, we did round and work in the hospitals ourselves, and it did detract some from our ability to see patients and our access in the office. Sure. So if we were working in the hospital, obviously we weren't available to those who needed to see us on the outpatient basis.
Right. Okay, we need to take a break. This is Medical Frontier. Our guest tonight is Dr. Anthony Ciampa. He's a family practitioner, family medicine practitioner, and we're talking about that whole subject, why it is necessary to have somebody who knows you, you know him or her, and it's much easier to prevent disease, and if something does happen, have it taken care of. 866-391-1020 is how you can call us. We'll be back. And we're back for another segment of Medical Frontiers. This evening we're talking about why is it important to have a primary care physician, a family physician, internist, or somebody that knows you, and when you have difficulties, you can call and they can see you and see what needs to be done. And tonight, you can call and talk to a family physician, Dr. Anthony Ciampa. Give us a call at 866-391-1020. Tell us a little bit about your training, Dr. Ciampa. I know you spent some time in the military, and people think that physicians in the military take care of military personnel, but most people in the military have families, and so you end up taking probably care of more dependents than you do people who are in the official military ranks. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. So, yes, my training, I went to Penn State for medical school on a military scholarship. And following my medical school training, my residency was in the Air Force in Northern California, Travis Air Force Base, and followed by a stint at an Air Force base outside of Boston. And you're correct. For family physicians and pediatricians and other primary care physicians in the military, we do take care of the fighting force, but for every one soldier, there is often a spouse and several children and dependents that may also need care. So much like when you're in the civilian world, you take care of everybody. You take care of the soldier, you take care of their family, their children, whoever is needed. So the only difference that I say is what I do now from what I did then is back then I didn't have to decide what to wear every day because the uniform was pretty standard. So, but yes, it was very much the same that you would take care of everybody and you develop those long-term relationships for several years because most people are stationed at the same base for a couple of years before they move on and rotate. So you do still are able to establish those relationships. And then if you move to another base, then you may also sometimes run into people that you knew from previous stations.
Sure. Yeah.
A much smaller military than people think sometimes.
Yeah. And for the listening audience who wonder about our taxpayer dollars going for scholarships to physicians, military scholarships, you had to spend some time in the service to pay back that
yes.
Scholarship that you that you had. How many years of obligation did you have after you finished your
So we had a total of 7 years.
7 years after medical school.
7 years after medical school, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I just wanted to clear that up because the military just doesn't hand those scholarships out and then you go about your business. You owe, you owed 5 years
yes.
or 7 years of military service. So that's almost a decade. That's quite a stint.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
In the military, so we
that is correct.
Appreciate your service. And what branch are you in?
I was in the Air Force.
In the Air Force, okay. All right. what about people? You're taking care of the whole family, so you're responsible for making sure that the children have their immunization schedules up to date and so on. Uh-huh. And so a lot of your work is actually preventive medicine. Yeah, correct?
Yes, that is very
preventing
correct.
Disease. You know, what I always say is if we can prevent something from occurring, then we don't need to treat it.
Yes, I do agree. I think it is a lot better to be proactive than reactive when it comes to medicine. So one of the goals of primary care is a strong lean towards preventative medicine. So screening tests such as colonoscopies, mammograms, routine blood tests for diabetes and cholesterol, pap smears for women, vaccinations, as you mentioned, all of those are geared towards either preventing disease or finding disease before it becomes a problem, either at an early stage or in some cases we can even prevent it entirely by finding the precursors to those diseases. So a big focus is on preventing problems before they even occur.
Are we seeing, Doctor, an increase in diabetes? And I know we certainly have an increase in obesity United States, and I guess you could call it an epidemic. It seems like the people with diabetes, that seems to be an increasing incidence in the country. Is that true?
So diabetes is definitely, as you mentioned, typically an obesity-related condition. So yes, with the increase in obesity and people being overweight in the United States, there is a higher rate of type 2 diabetes, which makes it all the more important to have routine blood tests to screen for that, as well as to focus on weight management in order to try to prevent the disease from occurring. So if we can intervene for somebody who is starting to have some issues with being overweight and progressing towards obesity. If we can help them on their weight loss journey early, then we may be able to prevent them from developing diabetes even in the first place. Yes, we are seeing an increase in that because of the obesity epidemic.
Okay. All right, we need to take our next break. This is Medical Frontiers. We're talking about PCPs, primary care physicians. When should you have one and when should you see one? So we'll be back after the break. 866-391-1020.
Medical Frontiers is an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network.
Okay, we're back on Medical Frontiers for our next segment. We're talking about primary care physicians. Who should you go to when you have general medical problems? Why is it necessary to have a primary care physician? And we're with our guest this evening, Dr. Anthony Ciampa, who is a family medicine physician in the Allegheny Health Network. Do you have any idea, Dr. Ciampa, what percentage of the American population does not have a PCP?
It's actually estimated about 25% of people in the United States don't have a primary care physician, and about 20% of people haven't been to a doctor in more than 5 years.
Wow.
A lot of that's related to the fact that 27 million people in the United States lack health insurance, which is about 8% of the population. So mm-hmm. that does contribute to those numbers, as well as there's been a significant decline in primary care physicians. So according to the American Medical Colleges, there's going to be a significant shortage in primary care physicians over the next 10 years, probably in the range of between 15,000 to 40,000 doctors shy of what we need to take care of the U.S. population.
Is one of the factors determining that is that primary care physicians, by and large, are not reimbursed at a level that some of the specialties and subspecialties are. So it becomes an economic thing with a physician coming out of medical school owing a lot of money for their loans, maybe over $100,000 or more. And so from a pure personal economic standpoint, it may benefit them economically to go into one of the surgical specialties or a subspecialty to help pay those loans off.
That is absolutely true. Primary care physicians in general are the lowest paid physicians amongst all the specialties. And so that is a big deterrent for people going into primary care. So now most physicians have not gone into the practice of medicine for the money, but there is a significant difference sometimes between those who work in primary care and, like you said, some of the specialties where you can make two, three, even four times the amount that a primary care physician makes working in one of those subspecialties. So the draw definitely is to pull away from primary care, but it does take a special kind of resolve to want to work in that kind of atmosphere. One of the things that led me to primary care was the fact that I was not going to be locked into one particular specialty. I get to see patients and treat conditions across every specialty, whether it be cardiology, dermatology, endocrinology, orthopedics. I get to see those on an everyday basis. So it provides a very wide variety of conditions and patients to treat, and it keeps things interesting.
Yeah, one of the reasons I went into orthopedics is that it took me all over the body, you know, from the neck to the toes and everything in between. And now orthopedics has turned into subspecialists, you know, for the spine, the shoulder, the knee, the elbow, the hand, the foot, what have you. And I think I would get kind of bored if I just took care of knees, you know, and that type of thing. But many orthopedic surgeons do those subspecialties, and I guess they're happy with it. But it wouldn't be for me, but it's a change. It's a change in medicine. We're shifting away from more general medical care and so on to subspecialty for every little thing, you know, which I don't think is necessarily a good thing. And as far as primary care is concerned, if you folks, if you can prevent somebody from being hospitalized or having to go to a specialist or a subspecialist, the insurance company is saving money, you know. So we need to look at that, I believe, in the whole scheme of things, and make sure that we are spending our dollars smartly as far as medical care is concerned and where the money goes.
Absolutely. Preventative, like you said, preventative care and maintenance and preventing people from developing issues and being hospitalized in the long run saves money. And that has been a very big issue with insurance companies and reimbursements, sometimes getting the appropriate tests approved because they're not considered a diagnostic test, but a preventative or screening test. And there are things that can be missed. Even in my career, there were times when insurance.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Insurance companies would not cover routine colonoscopies.
Yes.
So, thankfully that has changed, and that I think has made a very big difference in reducing the rates of colon cancer, especially in younger people who can now get their routine screening tests without having to worry about paying for them themselves.
Well, I can remember growing up as a kid, you couldn't get routine things like chest x-rays, EKGs, bury minimums, et cetera, and things like that, unless you were hospitalized. The insurance companies wouldn't pay for it unless you were admitted to the hospital, which so much is done as an outpatient, and that's a good thing. If you can do things as an outpatient, it is less costly, and it's better for the patient because they don't have to be taken to the hospital to have something that is routine and can be done as an outpatient.
Absolutely. Yes, our goal is to keep people out of the hospital, and if they've been in the hospital, our goal is to keep them from having to go back afterwards. One of our big goals is to reduce readmissions for patients who've been in the hospital with specific diseases such as congestive heart failure, infections, pneumonia, diabetes, COPD exacerbations. So we have programs in place when people come out of the hospital to be seen by their primary care physician to make sure that the transition from the hospital to their outpatient care is fairly seamless, as well as to address any issues that will need follow-up so that they don't end up having to go back into the hospital because something got missed or was not followed up on appropriately.
Right. Tell us a little bit about telemedicine. Are you using telemedicine in your practice?
Yes, we do use telemedicine. So telemedicine became very popular during the pandemic, and it was something that for a long time people think was not going to be a feasible aspect of medicine, which we discovered it was actually quite useful and quite beneficial. So yes, we do have availability to see patients both via telephone, but also by video chat. So you can actually see somebody and examine certain things when they need it. And it has become quite a common practice. I actually see telemedicine visits several times a week. It's very beneficial for those who have scheduling issues and can't come directly to the office, who have questions or concerns or need to review things, and they can fit that in during their work day, or if they're further away and have transportation issues and they can't get to the office. It's a very beneficial tool for elderly patients. I've actually had a lot of those kind of visits as well, where transportation sometimes is an issue, or if they've recently been in the hospital and just are not feeling up to leaving their home to come into the office, we can see them via video appointment and talk to them and go over their concerns and answer their questions, and they can stay comfortably at home and still get the care that they need, which was not an option 5 years ago.
Right, we're coming up to a break, but it's more convenient for the patient, and it's also convenient for the physician. Do you have any idea what percentage of your patients use telemedicine?
I'm not sure of the exact percentage that use it. I can say in general we have typically probably about 6 to 10 appointments a week set aside for telemedicine. It's available for any patient outside of those who have some specific Medicare insurance programs, and that's an insurance issue. But we do have a fair number of patients who can use it. It's available to pretty much anybody in Allegheny Health.
Okay. This is Medical Frontiers. We're talking about PCPs and their importance. Give us a call at 866-391-1020. We have another segment coming up after the break. Okay, we're back for the last segment of Medical Frontiers. We're talking about primary care physicians this evening. With Dr. Anthony Ciampa, who is a family care physician with Allegheny Health Network. I think he primarily works at Canonsburg and Jefferson Hospital, Dr. Ciampa. And if you want to make appointments with any of the physicians in the Allegheny Health Network, you can do that by going to ahn.org online or 412-DOCTORS by phone. Dr. Ciampa, what age should people who, I know there's a pediatric schedule when pediatric patients should be seen, but how about for adults? And should they see their PCP every year or every 2 years? Or what do you recommend for somebody, let's say, a healthy patient?
So in general, a good guideline is to try and see your primary care physician once a year, just to update your medical care, if there have been any changes, to get the appropriate screening tests that may need to be done, which vary according to age, to update your immunizations because they become due after so many years or depending on your age as well. Older patients or those with chronic medical conditions, they may need to be seen more frequently. Typically, someone, say, who has diabetes may need to be seen every 3 or 6 months, depending on how well controlled their disease is. At least in elderly patients who may have a lot more medical issues and concerns, maybe every 6 months to update, especially if you see a lot of specialists. So if you see a specialist for your heart, a cardiologist and an endocrinologist and maybe a urologist or some other specialties, they may be changing your medications or changing aspects of your care that won't necessarily update automatically into our system, particularly if you're seeing people who are outside of the health network. So seeing your doctor regularly to make sure you update your medications and any changes in your care so that everything is up to date is important. Now, a young, healthy person, someone, say, in their 20s or early 30s who has no medical issues, could they probably see the doctor every 2 years to update things? That would probably be, that's typically acceptable as well, because, again, they're not seeing multiple specialists or having, routine changes in their medical history. And a lot of those preventative studies that we would recommend don't start until you're in your 40s and 50s anyway.
Okay. How about we talk a little bit about the flu vaccine that's available now, and insurance companies pay for it. And do you recommend all of your patients get the flu vaccine?
I do. So flu is a terrible illness. When you get the flu, you are typically miserable. High fevers, body aches, cough. The symptoms typically last for several weeks. The average person will miss about a week to 10 days of work or school if they develop the flu. As we've said a few times today, being proactive and preventative is always better than being reactive and trying to treat after you get an illness. The flu vaccine does...
Okay, influenza is caused by a virus, and
correct.
It seems like it's a different virus or group of viruses every year, and I know that the pharmaceutical houses try to calculate which strains are going to be in the area, and I think that most flu vaccines now are polyvalent for two or three or four strains of influenza, and I guess was it last year that the flu vaccine was not terribly effective like it usually is? Is that true, or was that just
Yes, that is accurate. So in order to develop the flu vaccine, the pharmaceutical companies need to take data from the previous flu season and start production several months before flu season begins in order to have the supply to start administering it in September and October, which is where we are now. The flu virus changes every year. So using the data that we get from the previous season, they're making a very educated guess as to what strains are going to be present the following season. And so sometimes that is not as accurate as we would like to be. And last year was a good example of that. The strains that were in the vaccine did not match up very well with the strains that were in the community. Now, the benefit of the vaccine, even in those cases, is we did see a significant decrease in severity of disease in people who got the vaccine, even though it was not maybe completely effective with preventing them from getting sick. Mm-hmm. On average, I would see people who had the vaccine who got the flu were sick for maybe 2 or 3 days. They typically had lower grade fevers, less body aches, and the cough did not really last very long. Those who were unvaccinated who got the flu typically were sick for 3 or 4 weeks. So they had much more significant disease. It lasted for a lot longer when they were unvaccinated than they were vaccinated, even though the vaccine did not prevent them from getting sick in the first place.
Mm-hmm. I've heard people say, I got the vaccine and it gave me the flu, or my arm was so sore, so I'll never have another one again. Are there certain risks in taking the vaccine for flu?
So, yes, most people who get an immunization, you might feel a little under the weather for a day or two. That's part of the immune response that is...
Which basically is a good thing, right?
It is a very good thing. So you may feel a little sore, a little achy, but you never actually get sick. In fact, it's impossible to get the flu from the flu vaccine. There is no live virus in the flu vaccines that we administer. So you cannot get the flu itself. You can, like I said, get some of those little bit of body aches, maybe a little fever. Yes, your arm will hurt just like with any shot, but you won't actually develop the disease. So yes, you might feel a little off for a day or two, but that's much better than being sick for 3 to 4 weeks if you were to get the disease. So it's definitely a reasonable trade-off. And honestly, the majority of people that I see who get the shot don't suffer any significant side effects from it. So even those who've had some issues in the past, I typically still recommend that they get the vaccine because of the significant benefits versus the risks.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're running out of time. Dr. Ciampa, thank you so much for being our guest this evening. Really appreciate it. You got some good information there, and I hope the listening audience, if you don't have a PCP, get one, because it is very, very important to have that relationship with a physician. And whenever you have something going on, you get into the office and have it checked out and get it treated. So this is Medical Frontiers saying good night for this evening, and we'll be back next Monday.
Medical Frontiers was an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network. The information featured on Medical Frontiers was intended solely to further the public's general knowledge of current developments in the field of medicine and should not be relied upon as offering advice, diagnosis, or opinions as to any individual treatment or problem. Nothing should replace the relationship that you maintain with your personal physician.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.